Hello, and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Grebe. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is December the 28th in the year of our Lord 2021, Feast of the Holy Innocents, those who were killed by Herod as he was trying to find and kill Jesus. Collect of the day. Almighty God, out of the mouths of children you manifest your truth, and by the death of the holy innocents at the hands of evil tyrants, you show your strength in our weakness. We ask you to mortify all that is evil within us, and so strengthen us by your grace, that we may glorify your holy name by the innocence of our lives and the constancy of our faith, even unto death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us and now lives with you in the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. I am drinking Pike's Place this morning. None of the glorious eggnog. I must cut out the calories, and the new year must bring in. Oh, here we hope. Here we hope. I have a greater hope, obviously, in Christ, but I do hope to actually maybe lose some weight, but we'll see how that goes. So, last time was right before Christmas. I was hoping to get one more in before Christmas, but obviously things are busy right before Christmas Day. So, question 133, what is the inward gift signified? So we're towards the bottom of page 58 of the Catechism. What is the inward gift signified? The inward gift signified is the body and blood of Christ, which are truly taken and received in the Lord's Supper by faith. What is the inward gift signified? The inward gift signified is the body and blood of Christ, which are truly taken and received in the Lord's Supper. Let us go through scripture on this. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 20. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there is no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Next is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, verses 17 to 29. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so that the water gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel. Because you did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power, yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Men ate the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he led out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of the camp, all round their dwellings. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. The next is from the Gospel of our Lord, according to Saint John, chapter 6, verses 52 to 56. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And the final scriptural reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. Question 133. What is the inward gift signified? The inward gift. So gift, in Spanish, it's a don. Best expressed in the idea of Mozart had a gift. Beethoven had a gift. Einstein had a gift. People who are born with great abilities, they're gifted to them, right? That we don't think of them as something they've earned, though they can be developed, but they're gifts, right? They're just something given no price for it. We've sort of ruined the word gift in English by certain selling practices. You get a free gift when you buy. A free gift is a gift, right? It literally is no expectation of anything in return. It is given freely of though of he who or she who gives it. It gives it freely. So the inward gift, right, is a free gift. In the turning ourselves to Christ, the inward gift signified is the body and blood of Christ, which are truly taken and received in the Lord's Supper by faith. So by faith, through faith, in faith, so dependent upon faith, faith being the gift of God, therefore no man may boast that you do actually receive the body and blood of Christ. They are truly taken and truly received in the Lord's Supper. This is not transubstantiation, which is the incidents and accidents of bread and water are eliminated, in what you're actually eating is body, the body and the blood physically changed. No. This is received and taken in faith. I think the best explanation, I'm sure I've given this, or canon says, you know, God in Christ, he is truly God and he is truly man. He is, if you go to him, you touch him, he is flesh. He is the bread of heaven. So he is truly flesh. He is flesh. He is man, right? He is the incarnate God, but he is also God. You cannot separate the two. He is fully God and fully man. The bread that we eat, it is truly bread, but it is also truly the flesh of Christ, which is also truly God. There's a sacramental reality in there, a something beyond sight, the spiritual gifts, right, that are truly taken and truly received. Let's see. Clement of Alexandria. One who possesses the Word, who is Almighty God, needs nothing and never lacks any of the things he desires, for the Word is an infinite possession and source of all our wealth. However, someone may object and insist that he has often seen the just in need of food. This is rare and happens only when no one else is just. Besides, let him read the beautiful sentence, it is not by bread alone that the just man lives, but by the word of the Lord, who is the true bread, the bread of heaven. The good man is never really in want as long as he keeps intact his adherence to faith in God, for he can ask for and receive whatever he needs from the Father of all. He can enjoy whatever belongs to him if only he obey his Son. Then, too, he has this advantage that he can be free from feeling any want. The Word, who acts as our educator, gives us riches. There is no need to envy the wealth of others with those who have gained freedom from want through him. He who possesses this sort of wealth will inherit the kingdom of God. Here ends the reading. The point being made here is that we are freed from want. Now, the physical body may desire things, but the spiritual body is what they both need to be fed. But this body is wasting away. The thing that which we need to build up is our spiritual body, for it is the thing that will go on. We will be given a new body. We will be given a new body. Not that we should not care for it properly, but we know that in this world, our body can be destroyed. And the saint is calling us to be free from want, because then we are truly free. Not exactly an easy teaching, but it does break us free from envy. And in the gift of the word, we receive an incredible incredible wealth. There was one. For the word is an infinite possession, the source of all our wealth. So there is true wealth in the word, which far surpasses any wealth the world can actually offer to us, of infinite and surpassing greatness over that which the world offers. That was a commentary on the passage from Deuteronomy. Should have said that. It's an interesting, that Deuteronomy passage. You know, I'm going to take you into a land that's absolutely wonderful. It's got all this stuff. But don't forget, it is I who gave it to you, says the Lord. I gave you those things. I think it's a proper commentary on our current state of much wealth and maybe very little wisdom. We must remember who gave this to us. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he has raised up nations before us and other nations, and nations have fallen. Let us remember him who gave us everything, gave us this land, gave us the wealth. Let us be humble and remember him who has power over all. Turning to John. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. It's quite a bold statement. Cyril of Alexandria. Again does he contrast the mystic blessing with the supply of manna, and the savor of the cup with the fonts from rocky beds. And when he had said afore in these words, he says again here, manifoldly fashioning the same discourse. For he does not advise them to marvel over much of the manna, but rather to receive him as bread from heaven and giver of eternal life. For your fathers, he said, ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. For the food of manna, says he, having for a very little time sported with the need of the body and driven away the hurt of want, was again powerless. It did not engraft eternal life in them that had eaten thereof. That then was not the true food and bread from heaven, that is, but the holy body of Christ, which nourishes to immortality and everlasting life, is verily the true food. Yea, they drank water also from the rock. And what then, he says, of what the profit to them who drank? For they have died. That too then was not true drink, but true drink in truth is found to be the precious blood of Christ, which uproots from the foundation all corruption, and dislodges death which dwelt in the flesh of men. For it is not the blood of any chance man, but the very life that is by nature. Wherefore we are entitled both the body and the members of Christ, as receiving through the blessing the Son himself in ourselves. Here ends the reading. We are receiving Christ in the sacrament of the blood of the bread and the wine, in the sacraments of the bread and the wine. We are receiving Christ in them. So it's the outward and visible sign, bread and wine. Inward gift is body and blood of Christ. And then we turn to that great section in Corinthians, where a lot of us get the words of institution that you'll hear on a Sunday morning. Let's see. I wanted to actually do the larger context of it. So it does 16 to 18. I'm sorry, not the words of institution. My mouth's running away from me while I'm searching for the larger scriptural reference. So the final scripture, you've got 1 Corinthians 16 to 18. Let's sort of expand it out. To start with 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. But we must put Christ to the test. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will always provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are one body, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then, that the food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The word of the Lord. So, he is contrasting participating in a cup of demons with the participation in Christ. He is explaining these are true participations. If you participate in that which is evil, you are partaking with evil and pulling it into yourself. So then in the cup, you are participating in that which is good and right and just and pure, and pulling that into yourself. God has poured out this to us as food and drink for our bodies, but also for our souls. For our souls. And here's John Chrysostom. This is nice and short. The Jews were partners in the altar, but this is different from Christian communion. The Jews shared in something which was burned, but we share in a living Christ. It is with him that we have communion. Here ends the reading. We are in communion with the living God. Is it too great a thing for him to supply us with the body and the blood of Christ? Is it too small a thing for the living God to do that? I don't think it is. One of my favorite little observations, Eastern Orthodox perspective, how does the bread and the wine become the body and blood? Well, we pray to the Holy Spirit, and we trust that that's what he will do. And there's certain sort of childlikeness in that answer, but also a great deal of truth. It is, we are truly taken and received by faith. Which are truly taken and received in the Lord's Supper by faith. The inward gift received is the body and blood of Christ, which are truly taken and received in the Lord's Supper by faith. We take them by faith. Well, I've run out of time. I suppose I could keep yammering on. Those of you who know me know I can do that. So thank you for listening. Comments and feedback. AmateurAnglican@gmail.com, AmateurAnglican@gmail.com. If you're on iTunes, please write and review me. On other platforms, or even if you're iTunes, share with your friends. Again, my encouragement is to pick up the Catechism and read it, use it, encourage others to use it, share it, and make catechesis just a normal part of what we do as Christians. That this regular instruction is just the DNA of who we are, of regularly catechizing. So thank you for listening, and need to close us in prayer. Almighty God, you have poured out upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, kindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.